I want to thank you for standing in respect for God's word, but I'm going to ask Rick to say a brief prayer over the word of God, let you sit down. I'm going to comment briefly after he speaks about these verses, and so I want. Otherwise, if I get started this, we'll be here about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and that's, no, that would be okay, but I kind of feel like I am filled with God, you know, and what he said. I want to process all these wonderful prayers we've had, and so, Rick, would you lead us in prayer before you read? And we're going to do, I've never done this before. Have you?
I haven't done it.
Good. Okay. If we're together, okay, on this. So just pray a prayer, and then let the congregation be seated, and I'm going to give you an overview of what I was going to share with you.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you, first of all, just thanking you for being here among us today, Lord, moving in a mighty way. We feel your presence today, Lord. We thank you for the great praise and worship songs that we can sing to
you.
Thank
you, God.
We thank you for the great prayer time, Lord, that people, that prayers are being answered as we sit here right now, Lord. And I thank you for you, that you are such a mighty God. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your living word today, that you would just speak to hearts and minds that need you today. Let them know that you are truly do want to give them rest, that there is rest from all burdens, from all things going on in their life, Lord, that you are the one that can give them rest. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, Rick, we're going to go kind of on the outline in my sermon notes. Verse 1 first, and then I'll let you know how many verses are included as we go down.
Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it.
The King James says we ought to fear this. We ought to fear that we would miss out on this wonderful promise and truth that God has for us, that we can enter into a supernatural rest. Because, as I said last Sunday, that you cannot have a normal, successful, emotional life unless it's based on the peace and the rest of God. And so the writer here starts out by saying, you ought to be afraid that you would miss out on this and not get it. You know, and there's lots of things we should be afraid of that we'd miss out on. We'd be afraid of missing out on a really good family. That we'd be afraid of missing out on a really encounter with God. So when you are afraid in this sense of something, you're going to make every ounce of effort that you don't miss out on what God has for you. So the first verse is letting us know we have to really want this promise in order for it to come to pass. And the next few verses, down through verse 6, make our second point.
For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger that they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience.
The point of this verse is to show us that the only way we could get anything from God, including this supernatural peace and rest that can bring a comfort to you no matter what is happening to you, is it that you have real, genuine faith. You cannot, there's anger in this passage, that God was angry with them. Why was he angry with them? Because they were just no good, no count people? No, because they did not have what? Faith. God was upset with them because they wouldn't trust him. They wouldn't have faith. And so he says in verse 1, listen, you need to be afraid that you'll miss out on what could be the peace that passes understanding in your heart and mind, but you have got to have faith. And he says that they were kept out by faith. They couldn't get in because they did not have faith. And the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to do what? You cannot please God. One of the worst things that a son could ever hear from his father is to say, it's impossible for you to please me. But God says that to every child of God that's his. You cannot please me if you will not have faith. If you don't trust me, I can't help you. So we have to have the faith that really comes from God, that comes from God's word, comes from knowing God's character, and comes from an experience that our faith grows as God is faithful to us. Rick, these next verses are 7 through 9.
Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God.
Listen to that. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. When we were in Israel a couple of years ago, everybody looked forward to the Sabbath. There was activity going on all during the week, but boy, on the Sabbath day, there was rest. No one labored, no one worked, because here was a day to enter into the rest of God. And the Sabbath was always meant to show us how to live life, to live in rest, to live our life even when we're working, to rest. There remains a rest for the people of God. Often when we, our minds and hearts are overturned by circumstances that have happened to us, things we couldn't control, things that seem to happen, we lose our peace or rest. But if we have learned to enter into this, you won't. You'll be able to face an army that comes up against you, and yet you'll have the peace of God. There remains a rest for the people of God. He was saying this was back in those old days, but in the book of Psalms, the writer of Psalms said, there still remains a rest for the people of God, even though way back there some of them missed out. God always, the point is this, God always has the opportunity for you to rest in God, no matter what happens. I can remember, I mention this often, but I'll never get over in that elevator, dying and thinking these were my last few moments, last few seconds, that when God showed me that my whole family could get along well without me, that the church could do well if I lost my life that day, which I thought it was inevitable that I would, because I can feel my life leaving. And when he said everybody would do well, I said, well, okay. And the thought that was in my mind was this: in 30 seconds or less, I'll see Jesus Christ. And there was perfect peace. There remains a rest for the people of God. Whether they're in their last moment of breathing, their last breaths, or whether they're on a battlefield, or whether they're in a financial ruin, or no matter where they are, there remains a rest for you, and that's what God is saying here. And you need to be afraid that you might miss it. But he says there's no reason for us to miss that rest. There remains that rest. Just the next verse, Rick, for this next point.
For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his.
See, in order for us to get in on God's rest, the supernatural rest, we got to quit our stuff. We got to rest from our own works. Sometimes you can work. How many of you have worked as hard as you could, and the harder you worked, the behinder you got? Because it's not our work that God can bless. It's his work. So we have to cease from our work and enter into his rest and let him work through us. How many of you know how different it is to work hard as you can and then to let Jesus work through you? The Apostle Paul said, I'm now able to do all things because of Christ, who is my strength. He's the one that's working in my life. The Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his power. So we cease from our works. And let his mighty power work through us. And the apostle said, the writer of Hebrews says, he says that the first day that Adam lived, what did he do? Got up, ate breakfast, went to work. What did he do? He opened up his eyes and God said, why don't you take a rest today? And he entered into rest, showing us that we are not able to work until we enter into his rest. Then we can work. Then we're able to accomplish so much. If we can have this peace of God in our hearts, it'll keep disease away from you. It'll keep anguish and mental problems away from you. And it'll cause your relationships to get so good when you are able to rest in God. Let's look at this next, one more verse, Rick.
Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience.
Now here's the paradox, and often that's true in Scripture, that you have to labor to enter in to rest. Does that make sense? What it means is you got to keep trying. Because you'll try and you won't have the peace. You won't have the rest. So you have to labor to do this. You have to keep telling yourself, I trust God. God's proved himself to me over and over again. I'm going to lay this thing down. I'm going to enter into his rest. And he says we may have to labor to do that. But if your heart and mind is all full of trouble, thinking, and the peace is evading you, you've not entered into it. And so labor to do that. Keep asking yourself, what do I need to change? Is God speaking to me that I need to change my life in some way? And labor until the rest comes. And when it comes, it's like catching a wave. Any of you ever surfed? We did body surfing when I was in the Pacific. And we'd get out there and we'd go far out there. And every once in a while, we would be able to catch a wave and our bodies would be up on the wave. And man, we could just go all the way back until we hit the sand. It was amazing how another power carried us through that. And this is what this is talking about, that we may have to labor, we have to keep working at it, but then all of a sudden there it comes. And it just carries us through life. This supernatural rest of God. I think the next two verses, Rick.
For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
These two scriptures are going together to show us that God has to show us what we cannot see about ourselves. You know, your spouse can tell you a little bit about this, what you do not see about yourself. The people that are closest to you can tell you what it is that you do not see about yourself. But when Carolyn tells me what I do not see about myself, it only makes me mad. But when God tells me, when the Word of God shows me what's wrong, I can humble myself, and I should be able to when Carolyn tells me. I just can't. But the Word of God's alive and powerful, and it tells you. It discerns your thoughts and the intents of your heart. It knows what you're thinking better than you do. I want to tell you, change that, what I said. I'm learning to let Carolyn help me more. Are you listening to that baby back there? I want you to know that. This is the truth. I'm learning to let God work through the people around me more to show me what's wrong with me. And the Word of God, that's why when you come on Sundays, it could tell you things that were secret to you that you didn't know, but you need to open your heart up wide to let God speak to you. And if you get angry a lot about what you hear, you're not doing that. If you get frustrated at what you hear, you're not doing it. But when you open up your heart to God to say, God, speak through my spouse, speak through my mom and dad, speak through my friends. And God says, well, I can speak just straight to you and let you know what's wrong. And that's why, did you notice in our time up here, I was going to mention that we need to confess our faults one to another, but people just started confessing things while we were praying, that God was opening our hearts to let us get the help of each other. So this one last verse, don't you think Rick is helping me preach this sermon quickly? Amen. Okay, let's finish up with this.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess.
I wrote down about four things if I could remember them. Thank you, Brother Rick. if I can remember these four things I wrote down about that verse, is that God said he knows how we feel. We're talking about our emotions. We don't have the rest. But God, he says, we don't have somebody up there who doesn't know how we feel. He knows how we feel. Because he's gone through all the kind of things that we've gone through. But here are the four things this verse makes me think of. Is number one, we've got somebody in heaven who is working for us. God's not up there doing nothing. He is still working and praying. Did you know that Jesus himself is your intercessor? That he's praying for you when you don't know how to pray for yourself. And when you don't think anybody knows how you feel, how your feelings were hurt, how you felt neglected, how you felt you were abused or whatever, that God knows exactly how you feel. And he's working on your case. You know what I believe about a high priest? He had assistants that worked with him. And I believe my family that's gone on before me are their priests in heaven, because God has made us all to be priests of God and to be kings also. But I believe the Lord somehow lets those people who've gone on to be that we've known are working for us also in heaven. And I can't wait to see that. I know that that's going to be the case. That I had a dream about my brother David when he was working on our church. And in my dream, he had a big apron on that was made out of like real thick substance. And he was working all through the night on our church building. And when I came in, I saw him working. And I said, David, I didn't even know you were here. And he said, yeah. He said, you go on back there, be with the rest of the congregation. He said, because I've got a lot of work to do here. And somehow after that dream, what I felt like, I don't know how, but I believe that the saints who are going on are still Jesus' assistants and servants, just like we are down here. We're doing his work down here. Up there, they're still doing his work up there. And I believe they're working to help us. So we have a high priest in heaven. We have somebody who knows how we feel, and he knows what to do. And that's why the Bible says when you come to God, you have to come to the throne of grace. He's the one that controls all things, and he can give you grace to find help in any kind of trouble. And you can go straight back into that peace that passes understanding and keep resting in him. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. And we've had so many good prayers prayed already. It would be superfluous almost to say, pray again. But the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing and to keep asking God and keep beseeching him for our help. So I want to ask to help you in this last prayer. Would you say, Lord, I'm not going to lose this emotional peace that passes understanding. I'm going to enter into it. I'm going to believe it right now. So would you just lift your hand up with eyes closed, heads bowed, if you want this in your life. And just hold your hand up. Let me pray this last prayer for us about this message. Lord, here we are with so many different kinds of things that's going on in our lives. And we are saying we're not going to be among those who didn't believe and wouldn't receive your rest that remains for the people of God. We receive it now by faith, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're here without Jesus Christ, this last prayer is dedicated to you, because you cannot have God's rest nor anything else that God wants to give you if you do not come to him and be his son, his daughter, be born again into his family. Jesus wants you in his family. He wants you to be a part of this eternal family that doesn't end their life when they close their eyes in death, but begins the most exciting time that lasts throughout all eternity, living literally with the saints and with Jesus Christ in heaven forever. What you do now is you must repent of your sin. You must put your faith in Jesus. You must make him the boss, the Lord of your life. You need to turn things over to him. I'm not suggesting you'll be perfect. You'll make many mistakes. All of us do. But he's going to be your head now. He's going to be your new boss. And you've got to check in with him every time you fail. Ask God to make adjustments. Show you what you need to do. If that's what you'd like, would you pray this simple prayer from your heart? Dear Heavenly Father, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Go ahead, pray that. And then say it, and God, today I put my faith in Jesus. And I quit trying myself. And I start trusting you. And today, I'm turning over the wheel to you. You're going to be in control of my life as well as I can do this. I'm asking you to save me, and I want you to be my Lord. If that's in your heart today, would you lift your hand up in the air and hold it up for just a moment? Amen. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. Anybody else praying that prayer today? Just lift your hand up. If you have to mean it in your heart, but praise the Lord for you. Praise God for these two that are calling on God today. Thank you, Jesus, for that. This is the day the Lord's made. We'll rejoice in it. Those of you, raise your hand. Tell somebody about this just as soon as you have an opportunity. Let them rejoice with you. And then let us help you grow in your new faith in Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, will you offer our closing prayer? God bless each of you today.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you, Father, and we thank you, Father, for being here with us this morning, Father. We thank you for the time you spent with us. Father, we thank you for your word. I just pray, Lord, that what we've heard this morning, Father, that we take it with us, we apply it to our lives, Lord, and use it in a way that it brings you honor and glory, Lord. Father, just go with us now as we go about our journey, Lord, and just lead us and guide us and protect us until we can come back to you again. Father, we love and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. One last announcement. 7 o'clock Sunday or Saturday morning here at the church. All you men that like to have a little Bible study and fellowship, you might even get a sausage and biscuit or a big old donut or something. You could join us at 7 o'clock Saturday morning.